Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's 1987 in Chicago, and something took over live television. With no warning or explanation, just a masked figure wearing a fake face, moving strangely, talking in a distorted nonsense. For about a minute and a half, someone hijacked a real broadcast and spoke directly to thousands of people. And then suddenly, it was gone. Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite Deadly Mary duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Is this a hiccup attack again? All right. Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky. Where are we headed today, lover boy? Oh, lover boy.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh, lover boy. All right. Ooh. We will be in the U.S. of A.
All right. North, south, east, or west?
North.
Okay.
Yes.
The Midwest, east coast, or west coast? Easy way to remember. Never eat soggy waffles. That's how I remembered the compass directions. Never eat soggy waffles.
Oh, is that how it is? Okay. North. Oh, and
you,
then what
you
did you
already said north. East or west or Midwest?
Mid.
Mid? Okay. Are we going to... No. Are we going to... North Dakota?
No. But where is that?
Wisconsin.
No.
Illinois. Let's do it. Thank you, trusty globe.
It's Sunday night on November 22nd, 1987 in Chicago, Illinois. Most people are at
Chicago
home.
Of all places.
Hey, I don't know how Chicago was in 1987.
Even scarier than it is now.
Oh, really? Okay, well, beautiful city, though. I love the reflection thing. I still want to go. We have a lot of family friends there. Yeah, the bean. We have family friends that live there. Well, it's Sunday night on November 22nd, 1987 in Chicago, Illinois. Most people are at home winding down, watching TV like any normal night. On one news channel, WGN-TV, is airing their late night news. Mm-hmm. Nothing unusual. Sports anchor Dan Rohn is in the middle of a news segment where he's covering highlights from a Chicago Bears game. Everything is completely normal until suddenly the screen cuts off. No transition, no warning, just a brief loss of signal. And then instead of the news, something else appears. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Play of the clip, boys.
Son got a good break on it. Fortunate enough, we scored.
Then they scored again at the line's 31. Wayne Larrivee called it like this on WGN Radio.
2 yard line, and McMahon back to throw. Dumps it up the middle. Wide open McKinnon.
Cutting left to the play. Oh, that was crazy.
10 to the 5. Touchdown.
McMahon and McKinnon, 14-0 Bears. Then the defense, which hadn't put up a sack in 12 quarters, finally did. Well, if you're wondering what's happened, so am I. Actually, the computer that we have running our news from time to time took off and went wild. So what we're going to do is start over from the top with the Bears and tell you once again about the 30-10 victory they had over Detroit today out at Soldier Field. We'll show you from the top and show you again the change that they made today on defense with Maurice Douglas as the nickelback. He made a great play, one of his first chances, and scores 2-1. So the Hawks need a comeback tonight out at the state.
Oh, good, huh? Very good.
A lot of good sports action today, huh?
Twice, some of it.
Yeah, that's right. Boom. You liked it so much that you really planned that, didn't you?
Sure I did.
Okay, Dan.
What the hell?
Now, for those of you who are just listening, the video I'm posting obviously on socials, but it's just you see the football game from what you heard, you know, they're doing their segment and then it cuts off. Like it just goes dark for a while. Tom was like thinking there was going to be a jump scare.
I was.
You were inching further away.
If you watch the video, yeah. I was leaning and kind of turning my head. It's the same thing all of you guys do at home. I know you do it when you watch some of those videos. You think a jump scare is going to happen.
Of course. So what is it? You see all that. It goes black and you hear that fuzzy noise, buzzing noise. There's nothing's going on. But there's this guy that shows up and he's wearing a head mask that has these dark sunglasses. And behind him, it looks kind of like a sheet of metal, maybe, or some type of postal.
It looks like anyone that knows anything about roofing, it looks like the roofing sheets, metal sheets for farm style
like
homes and stuff.
Corrugated?
Going back and forth. What?
Corrugated metal? Corrugated metal?
I don't know.
Whatever, yes. But exactly literally that. And it's just tilting, rotating back and forth.
It looks as if two people must be holding it on each side and they're just flinging it back up and down. I don't know. It's giving
weird.
The purge.
Yes, it's giving the purge, okay? He's literally, this person is saying nothing in here. The audio is just super weird. It's also super eerie, okay?
Now, this happens
around 9 p.m. It's a quick 20 to 30 seconds. And as you saw, it's just as it started, it stops. And the broadcast backs.
I just let my man Dan. If you're wondering what happened,
so am I. Now, at first, like he was saying, you know, the computer ran off. Something weird must have happened and interfered. Weird. But then 2 hours later, it happens again.
Get the fuck out.
This time, it happens to a completely different station than WGN TV.
I don't like this. I don't like this, man.
This time, it was WTTW, which was also associated with PBS. They're airing an episode of Doctor Who. It's a British sci-fi show. Remember our brother and sister in the UK at Do You Dare podcast?
Yes.
Em has seen this episode, this show. But the episode is playing normally until, again, it suddenly cuts out. And now that same mass figure is back. But this time, he's not silent. He's talking.
Oh, no. Do I have this?
Play the clip, boys.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll get you a hot drink, miss.
Need some dry clothes?
Jesus.
Spy far as I can tell, a massive electric shock. He died instantly.
At this point, I'm not even scared. It's just coming off as if somebody's really trolling hard. Because what was that cutaway?
What the hell was that?
I'm in trouble.
With his pants down?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for those of you that are just listening.
What?
It's the same visual of the guy with the sheet of metal behind him, right, rotating. And the voice now is like super distorted, buzzy, it's uneven, it's like cheap audio. And what they're saying doesn't really fully make any sense. You hear him saying like he's a freaking nerd, Chuck Swirsky,
catch newspaper. Mother has the other one.
The world's greatest newspaper, blah, 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 all this stuff. Even Catch the Wave or whatever. There's a lot of references here. He sings like a song. And then in the end, it's like the cutaway. And he is bent over.
Being spanked.
By a fly swatter with a person wearing a French's made outfit. And he's being spanked with his pants down, hanging down. It is the most bizarre,
so
strangest, eeriest video ever. Now imagine you watching Doctor Who. One is already kind of spooky. And then that shit comes on.
I won't lie, I'd be terrified.
It's, yeah, because you're like, what the hell? In 1987, I'd be like, great, they're attacking the U.S.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yes, yes, literally.
Aliens!
Yeah, and he even says in the video, what is it? He's like, I still see the X. And he's like, throwing stuff. Like, I'll post the video on the socials, yeah. But it's so
eerie. At one point, it sounded
eerie.
Like he said, oh, it's still PBS.
He could have. Like, he could have. Yeah. Yeah. So these are all interesting. Okay. It's chaotic. It also kind of feels like little inside jokes, right? Like, yeah. What are you talking about? And he's kind of out of left field or whatnot. And what is it that he does too? He's like, they're coming to get me.
Yeah. And yeah. He's like holding the mask behind next to his.
Yes.
I'm
so
confused.
It's so weird. Yeah. And then the Doctor Who episode just jumps back on. Like,
and
it's
a guy
kinda,
dead.
Yeah. Now, this time, right, the first time that happened, it only lasted around 20, 30 seconds. Now, this time, the first time, it lasted 20 to 30 seconds, but this time it lasted about like
a minute and a half.
Yeah, a minute and a half. And from what I saw, too, the reason why it only lasted 20 to 30 seconds on the 9 o'clock one for the WGN channel was because they had someone that was able to switch the signal.
Well, I was going to say more. That's where I was going, because I'm thinking one PBS.
Well, this one's the PBS one. The second one.
No, I know.
Uh-huh.
So you don't know that I've ever done this, but one of my cool trips with the Boy Scouts, for some reason, we knew somebody that worked at the PBS station.
Oh, that's cool.
So I actually got to go into the station
late at
night
with everyone. That's cool.
Like my Boy Scout troop and everything.
Yeah.
And we got walked through because at night, and that's where I'm getting to, live TV, you still have a full crew. You have people running signal. You have people working soundboards and everything.
Yeah. A lot of moving parts.
Because you're having to adjust stuff live.
Live.
So that's why I also assumed, well, yeah, no wonder, because it's a quick switch.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to the PBS station, it was a lot fewer people. I think I saw maybe 3 people in there besides our tour person. And technically, he wasn't even working that night fully.
Wow.
And they have everything similar to radio stations. Those of you that don't know, radio stations, a lot of it's like pre-recorded and automatically set up to automatically go off.
Right.
Commercials, everything. So I had a feeling that that's also why it was able to last so long, because they have everything kind of set up. So they're really just having to look and go, okay, we got to tee this up next.
Yeah.
Okay,
so I saw a few things that like they were trying to, I saw a few things. It was like 2 things I saw. One of them was that either no one was there to even change the signal. Like maybe they weren't there on staff. They weren't getting to it quick enough or something. Yeah. It was something like that. But yeah. So that's so cool though. I never know that. Yeah. That's just what a fun memory.
I don't
what
even
a fun
know
memory.
If that, the PBS station is
it's still there.
Well, actually, PBS is closed. No.
Oh, is that
Didn't
the one
that
with
happen?
Elmo?
Yep. Elmo, Sesame
Street,
so sad. All that.
Sad. Yeah. Because, yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to look, but I want to say that, no joke, that news station or that station was right up the street from where I grew up.
Wow, that's so cool. That's so cool. Well, at this point, they're kind of realizing that it's not a glitch. Someone seems to have hijacked a live broadcast, and we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, here's the part that makes this even more intentional, is that the mask that you're actually watching isn't random. The mask that he has on is not random. It was actually the spitting image of the character named Max Headroom. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Okay, so Max Headroom was actually a very recognizable character. I haven't either, because I was like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
But he was a very recognizable character at the time in the 80s. He was supposed to be kind of this computer-generated TV host, like an AI personality almost. But reality, it was an actor. He was just in heavy makeup and like prosthetics and stuff.
Okay.
That's why he looks... what is it? For those of you obviously who aren't watching, but he kind of looks like Jim Carrey in the movie The Mask.
Yes,
if he wasn't, if he wasn't green though, like he's got he's got like slicked back platinum blonde hair. It doesn't move. The face is so plastic, like chiseled. The features. He's got the dark sunglasses.
Basically, imagine Hollywood with a lot of Botox.
Yeah, literally. And he stutters a bit in here. You see, he's like glitching back and forth, right? Now, this character that they made up is also super arrogant and witty, and he sort of has like this glitchy way of speaking. I put in there for you to kind of be able to see. All right, hold on.
Oh.
So the whole character was actually created to be satire, basically making fun of TV culture and advertising and how everything felt so artificial at the time, which is so funny because... If that's what they thought was artificial nowadays.
No, I know.
Dude, nowadays is crazy. It's crazy. But at the time, that's what they felt.
It's funny because even his background is a spitting
image of what
of
the guy.
Other background.
So you see how now they're starting to realize like, oh, this feels more intentional now because maybe you're not just fooling off. Like, are these people trying to send a message?
Yeah.
Right? What are they trying to say? Because they're mimicking pretty much what he's wearing. They wore a mask.
And he did say, catch the wave.
Catch the wave. That is also one of the Coca-Cola
slogans
at the time, because Max was actually heavily tied to the commercials, especially the new Coke commercials.
Interesting.
So all the edits and effects that they do on this character is to kind of give the illusion that he's like CGI or whatever. But he was advertised as the first computer-generated TV presenter. And it was an actual actor. His name was Matt Frewer. My goodness. Matt Frewer, who plays the made-up character of Max Headroom. So at the time, if you're watching TV in 1987, you would immediately recognize that mask and that character, which means that whoever did this is obviously choosing this character on purpose. You know, why don't you choose Halloween, Michael Myers?
Yeah.
Why don't you choose... All I can think about is horror film. I was like, Chucky, maybe Pikachu, right?
No,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you choose that? Now, you can go ahead and see the commercial as well if you go to the next slide.
Is this a private party or can any store crush? So, Coke is irresistible.
But this is more modern. You said the P word.
So what I want to know is, if you're drinking Coke, who's drinking Pepsi?
You said the P-word.
If you can't beat it, that's the way. Coke.
That's funny.
So you see this character? Yeah. It also kind of feels like they're making fun of the big man, right?
Yes.
Like they're playing the whole like, oh, everybody, you're going to listen to news. You're listening to the big.
Exactly.
So what is the Big Brother and all that? So it's kind of just being this satire, this parody. And he does, no joke, look like Jim Carrey.
No, really does.
And even acts like Jim Carrey. I don't even know. And it's so funny because I guess I thought Jim Carrey just had his own way of acting. But then now I'm thinking, oh my God, you're just a glitchy person. That's like the best way to describe how he is. So there's actually an incredible breakdown visual that was created by a YouTube account that I actually found. And it's named Then What... the account is actually named Then What Happens. I'll link it in the... description if you guys want to go check it out, because it's so much easier to understand the visuals of like signal waves and, you know, how far things are for certain towers or whatever the case may be. It's actually just 10 minutes long, but he did such an amazing job creating it and breaking things down that it was so much easier for me to even understand, you know, Because everything works through like microwave signals, and he from this time to there's a map, and he's kind of putting, and everything's like animated. It's super, super helpful. But okay. I'm going to do my very best to break down the images and the stuff for my listeners. So when you slow the footage down, right, and you really look at it, especially at this time, a few of the things stand out, okay? Right off the bat, this doesn't really look like a professional setup.
No.
Obviously. It's also pre-recorded. So this had to have been done. Yes. Okay. Because the reason they know it's pre-recorded because of that cutaway.
Oh, I see where you're saying.
They know it's pre-recorded because there's that cutaway. So that's the clue, right? And also, they start thinking right off the bat, this doesn't look like a professional setup. The background is literally a sheet of metal.
Yeah.
Like it's something you'd find in a garage or a warehouse is what they assumed. And maybe they have something rotating on a swivel, right? Because it looks like it's turning.
Going back and forth.
But it also looks like it's turning manually. It doesn't look like it's like a machine, like do, 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 do.
You mean automatically?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
You said manually.
Yeah. No, I said like a machine.
Okay.
It's not on like a machine. Run it back, because I know I got that one.
You did say the machine after you said manually.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, God, I won't run it back. Don't worry.
It's okay. You were wrong.
I was saying. You done? You done? Can we get back to it?
I don't get many of these.
Yeah, you know, it's okay. You should bask in the glory. Now, the background, right, like I said, is literally a sheet of metal. And the lighting is super harsh and uneven. So the camera doesn't even seem stable in itself either. It doesn't look like he really, like there's a TV setup. Like this is something that the theory is that whoever did this must have just done this in a warehouse or a garage somewhere with a good amount of room and space. And it had to have been filled somewhere where it was controlled and most likely private.
Okay.
So the audio also tells you a lot. It's super distorted. It's not polished. And the way that they talk is very scattered, like the, you know, because they're trying. It also seems like they're trying to say everything they possibly can before they get cut off. Yeah. So they're like, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, bus, club, train, another bus, right?
Another train.
Also, it seems from what they're looking at that there has to be more than one person involved, because one, you do see a second person at the end that comes in with the fly swatter and the French maid.
So weird.
I know. I don't understand. Like a lot of the stuff that they added doesn't make sense, but maybe there was a reason they did it, but it wasn't coming across. I'll break it down a little bit more too as we keep talking about it. But they also believe like someone had to have been moving the sheet of metal manually.
Okay.
And somebody's max headroom, and somebody has to be behind the camera.
So you mean three people?
So they're theorizing that there has to be at least three people, and this was had to have been planned to some level. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because it had to have been planned to some level, because this wasn't hacking the way that we think of it today. Because back in the 80s, TV stations didn't send signals through the internet how they do now, from what I saw. Back then, TV signals were analog. And so, which means that they worked like waves. And with analog signals, if you send out a stronger wave on the same frequency, you can literally overpower the original sound.
Mm-hmm.
So, like if two radios are talking to the same channel, but the louder one will win.
Yeah.
That's where I was like, damn, I was learning a lot about radio waves. Because I was like, how does that work? But they did use microwave transmissions, which basically meant that the studio sends a signal to a broadcast tower, and that tower sends it out to everybody watching.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, those signals could be overridden. But the only way you could override those signals is if someone were to have the right equipment, because this is not something you just do on your phone on a walkie.
You gotta also think this is the 80s. You didn't have phones. Yeah.
So
like
that's the other thing too. They were like, who in their right mind could have even done this? Because you're also going to need the level of intelligence to understand this, how this works, and how are you going to have the right material in order to send these signals, right? So, but in order to pull this off, you need technical knowledge, the correct broadcast frequency, a powerful ass transmitter from what I was seeing, and a location that's close enough to the tower. So it's not impossible, right? But definitely not something that it's not like some kids are like, huh, let's mess around.
Yeah, let's just do this.
Yeah, let's just do this. It's a joke. It's a prank. Like, no, this is planned. This is intentional.
Which is more of what can happen now.
Now, yes, exactly. Where it's like we're finding things out as we go.
Yeah, and we've seen, Anonymous has, how many times have we been watching some of the most secured networks.
Yeah,
in
it's so
the
true.
World.
And people
and then all
can
of a sudden
still
Anonymous
break it.
Just,
oh my God, it scared the fuck out of me. Sorry.
And then all of a sudden, Anonymous just boom.
Yeah.
Takes over. And,
I know.
And they take over to where you can't get your transmission back because they'll try to change it.
Yeah, there's just
it's so,
so
crazy
so
now.
So crazy. It's so.
And the technology so much further than what it was at this
back
point.
Then. Exactly. Exactly. So true.
So tell us how they did it, though, because that
there's
I
theories.
Feel like I'm so curious on.
There's theories. There's theories. Because after what happened was a huge search went out, went around, and the FCC was like pissed. They were not messing around. They were like, we're threatening jail time. We're threatening fines. It's like, this isn't a joking yeah. matter. They did have people on the news that were watching at the round, either both or at some point when the disruption occurred, the hijacking occurred. And some people were like, I thought it was funny. But some people also were like, I didn't like that at all. Like, that was scary. That was creepy. It feels like, what is it? Something's, yeah. Because at the time, too, they were also thinking that, are we being attacked? Who would hijack this? This yeah. is also really weird.
I mean, that's the thing. I feel like you got two. There's, you don't mess with any federal agency.
No.
But there's two that you really don't mess with. The FTC. And United States Postal Protection Services.
Yo, the PS. Post office? Yeah, the PO?
No,
dude, they
but
don't
like,
mess around.
Not the post office.
No,
it's
I know,
this
but like,
actual protection
this
service.
Protection, yeah.
They're cops
they don't mess about
and
their...
like detectives. And if you yeah. are, if they show up, you're already screwed.
No, for real.
They don't
I
show
remember...
up until they got then. They're like, oh, we're done.
Yeah,
you're
my mom has this friend. We call her Dia, aunt in Spanish. But she has this friend and like she works in the postal service industry and she's a mail carrier and she's a mail carrier in the city. So we talking, she got steel legs. Okay. She like could probably kick a ball right out of the universe. but she was going to somebody's house and somebody actually took her, somebody robbed. Like, I forgot it specifically.
What?
I think it was the phone or something. It was some damn it, I forgot. I'm going to have to call her. But she, somebody robbed some type of post office, like, electronic thing that she had on her. And the whole time she was like, I mean, you can keep it, but they're going to knock down your door and they're going to get this back. Like, you're not going to be happy when they show up. And I think the guy ended up taking it back to the post office. Yeah, because she was like, she was like, listen, I'm not going to fight you for that. But just know they're going to fuck you up.
That's
like,
the thing.
They don't play.
For those of you
play.
That don't know and have never heard of this agency, you need to look into them because they do some of the craziest missions. You thought the
Yo,
CIA.
Yo, dead ass, really?
Oh, I'm dead ass.
Yo, I didn't know that.
You thought the.
Like, I knew they meant business,
here, I got
but
you,
I didn't
I got
know
you.
That. Yeah, I need to read up on that because right now I'm thinking like, what, my mail is get lost?
It's literally called the United States Postal Inspection Service. It is a federal law enforcement agency protecting U.S. Postal Service, and they have 450 armed people. These are some of their guys.
Damn,
they're,
it looks
they're
like
they're postal
a...
inspectors, yeah. But
damn,
they are,
they
I mean,
around.
They don't know.
Actually, you know what's funny? I didn't connect the two. I don't know why. That's interesting. Yeah, because...
like, look at these guys.
There's this other case, and it's about couponing, and they got involved.
Yes.
And it was a huge thing.
And, I mean, they carry guns and everything.
No, yeah. There's some scary motherfuckers, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you're afraid of the FBI, you should be also afraid of those.
No, that's what I'm saying, because they are the group that you don't know about.
You don't know
that they're coming.
No.
And if they are coming... By the time they're coming, it's because they already have every bit of evidence they need to be able to take your ass down.
Yeah, and it's all about like the oh my God. Yeah, there's so many departments when you look at it.
I want to say they work, or not they work, correction, it's kind of reversed. The Secret Service works in tandem with them when it comes to certain counterfeiting stuff because the Secret Service has
obviously
their ink stuff and everything.
Right. There's so much that goes behind it. Oh God. Okay. I didn't know that deep into it.
Yeah.
That's
they're
cool.
like a crazy agency that is,
you,
it's
you
one
don't,
of those
you don't think
that,
about it.
Yeah. Because, and I can't remember, somebody made a video and they're like, look at this fool. He thinks he's a cool cop. And then somebody was like, do you know what those people do?
Yeah.
Cause they are scary guys. You just don't realize they're scary because you think, oh, you're just a postal police guy? Cool, okay.
Yeah, like, oh, buddy.
Yeah.
You ain't even know nothing.
So, yeah,
okay.
Them and the FTC. Don't mess with either.
FTC, which is that one?
Federal Trade Commission. That's the one we were talking about right now.
No, I'm talking about FCC.
Oh, FCC.
Yeah.
Federal Communication Commission?
Yeah, that's what it is. Hold on, let me double check. FCC. Federal Communications Commission. Yes. So the FCC was not messing around. They was not messing around.
You know, maybe I've always had this wrong because I always thought it was the Federal Trade Commission, but it would make sense because I think Bobby Bones got sued by the, or got fined by the FCC because he hit the emergency broadcast thing.
Oh, that would be them then. Yeah, oh, okay, that then would be yes. them. Yeah, because they're all about that.
Yeah.
Damn. But now
they don't care accident or not. They're like, fine.
They're like, yeah, you thought, baby. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
So after this huge search goes around, the FCC is not messing around. They're threatening jail time. They're threatening fines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's talking about that. They're investigating. They're thinking to pull this off, it is believed to have been a broadcast engineer, a satellite engineer, or a ham radio operator. But most likely, they claim, they believe that it has to have been at least two of those because it's just the level of knowledge and equipment and in order to how to like even work through things, they need.
Well, and ham radio guys are like, that's a hobby.
That's also a hobby, yeah, which is also a theory, okay? Now, funny, they've never been identified.
What?
No one knows who they are. Nobody knows. The investigators, the engineers, everybody has just... The only thing surrounding this case is just theories. Nobody knows who it could have been whatsoever. So let's talk theories.
Let's do it.
Okay, because this wasn't random at all. The theory one that I kept seeing and coming across is that some people believe this was someone connected to the industry, maybe a disgruntled former employee, like a current... Mm-hmm. broadcaster or I don't somebody connected something, to the building or to having work there. And the reason they believe that is because the hijacker directly references Chuck Swirsky, which is a well-known Chicago sportscaster.
Okay.
He also makes a comment about the greatest world newspaper nerds, which is it's WGN. It's just spelled a little bit weird. So WGN is World's Greatest News, and they ended up saying Greatest World Newspaper Nerds. So they felt like there's a tie in there since that's kind of what their letters stand for. And clearly everything that this fake Max Headroom guy is saying is symbolic to an extent, right? Mm-hmm. They also are making fun of nerds, which could be possibly targeting the media people. And he also...
That's messed up. You guys are tackling nerds for hacking.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So,
yeah.
Look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror, buddy. Pick on someone your own size. So the other one, too, is that he's humming. There's certain moments in this video that he hums, and he's referencing an old cartoon called Clutch Cargo. And in that show, there's a phrase called X marks the spot, which he kind of ends up mentioning that in the video. He's like, X marks the spot.
Yeah.
I don't really understand... what this all means.
What is X?
Yes. And what is all that?
The spot.
So they also believe that the hijackers were intended to target WGN. But since they noticed that the signal was switched quickly, that they wouldn't probably be able to do that. So they decided, well, let's just go with another news channel. And that's why they did WTTW. Okay. Yes. And so, but regardless, it's feeling personal. Like the stuff that they're saying on there, it's feeling personal.
I'm angry.
Yeah, I'm angry. I have no idea what's going on. So they even have suggested that the best way that they could have done or even made this happen, some people have thought maybe they did it in the building before they left. But other people have claimed or theorized that they could have gotten their own news channel car. Because the news channel vans, they carry those satellites on them. Yep. And that's how you see live news from, you know, on the ground.
Yeah.
Reporters are reporting what's happening in current time live. So the equipment on in those vans could also reach to the tower.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They would just have had to been like maybe closer, essentially. Yeah. So that's also the theory with that as well. But again, there's like no proof, right? Because if someone was inside that station, no one was ever identified. No one was ever claimed to have been like, it's this guy or that guy. Like, so that's theory one. It's a disgruntled employee, okay? Theory two is that maybe it's just some hackers, your typical hackers, okay? At the time, Chicago had a strong community of like ham radio operators and electronics, like hobbyists and engineer students and stuff like that. So one of the theories, like maybe it's just some hackers who actually felt like they could pull something like this off. And they did.
I mean, I was going to say they did.
And they did. And so the reason why this also kind of fits, because a part of me, I'm like, damn, I could see definitely disgruntled employee. But if they haven't found any connections, like, I don't know.
Also, how disgruntled do you have to be to take this much time and effort to do this?
And it's so
also,
so
why
creepy.
Would you choose such a late time to have you hack over?
Yeah, I wonder why. Well,
nobody's going to see this.
Maybe to your point. No, I think it's because I think they thought everyone would see it. Because everyone at the 80s, what is the main thing? You know, TV's now a thing. Everybody comes home after work.
Yeah.
They're going to watch.
You're talking 9 p.m.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. But I get what you're saying, though. It's so true.
I know you stay up till like 1 a.m., but not everyone does.
You're like,
that.
We actually go to sleep at a decent time. Okay. Whatever. But, anyways, that theory, too, it's just kind of like also a stretch because I feel like. These you're saying like it could have just been like hobbyists, like fanatics, and they just I mean it could have been though. It very much could have been.
It's weird. It's weird.
It really is. Another theory they thought too is that maybe it was just like a some type of performance art, like a way to bring awareness of some sort. But I don't see any type of awareness being brought. Like they were kind of maybe playing along with the whole thing about like media and the advertising and corporate TV and, you know, the Big Brother.
Spank me.
Yeah. And then doing the whole like mocking Coke and, you know, catch the wave. Right. Like if it was a message, it's not clear. It's not clear. I'll be honest. Like, it's not clear for me, at least.
You
I can't see.
You guys should run it back.
Run it back.
We're almost 40 years later from when you guys did this, but let's run it back.
Yeah, but just run it back. Run it back. And the other theory I saw, too, that could have also been is that it's the less flashier of theories. Probably maybe most realistic is we at least see the two people. So it is believed that there is at least three. And based on the setup, it's probably just a small group that just kind of executed the signal override.
Yeah. Thing.
And they probably thought it was kind of funny. And bottom line, it just wasn't a random glitch. It wasn't just one person. It was because nothing ends up coming from it. It was planned. We don't know by who or why, really, in reality, other than like the certain things that they say.
Yeah, but
nothing.
It
yeah. Yeah.
It's just weird.
It's so weird, but it's also so eerie. So eerie.
It is extremely eerie.
Yeah, because I would be super freaked out.
It's also just the mask, the character, everything. Again, it's giving very much Purge.
Yeah, it's giving Purge, literally. And you know, it was crazy because while I was also researching this case, because it randomly showed up, and I also learned about it at nighttime. So when I was watching the videos, because you saw the videos, I was like, that is so creepy. Like, what the hell was that?
I gotta say, guys, I'm gonna just let you know right now. My wife does all this research late at night sometimes.
Sometimes.
As she's trying to go to sleep.
No, but it's fascinating.
And then all of a sudden, I can't go to sleep. Oh, I heard a noise. Can you go see what it was?
I'm just a girl.
And I'm like, honey, it's just the dishwasher. Oh, okay. Like,
and then I'm like, I'm never waking you up again.
Yes, every time.
Don't ever say I didn't say anything. I'm just a girl. I'm just
a
girl.
I know you are.
I can't. Should I put the Van Gogh song on?
No. God, no.
Well, either way, like at the end of the day, the investigators, they didn't have much to go on. There's really not a lot of physical evidence. There's no clear location, just recording. Just tracking the signal in 1987 isn't really that easy. But one of the things that I found too while I was searching up this case was other times TV stations have been hijacked.
Yeah.
And have you ever heard of David Horowitz?
Yes, actually.
Okay, have you heard of him?
Yes. The minute that I saw it, I was like, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? Yes. I didn't know this, and I thought this was crazy, but in Los Angeles, in LA, there was a man that walked into a news studio during a live news broadcast. He ends up coming close to David Horowitz, the news anchor, and he has a gun with him, what looks like a gun that is against him. And he's like telling him to say something to the TV. Like he pretty much wrote something, the attacker, and gave it to David so then he can repeat it on live. And he pretty much holds him hostage. Now, when he hands him the statement and tells him to read it, David, as you can see, like he stays calm. And I'm going to let you watch the video and I'll even post it too. But he stays super calm. He starts reading it. You know, he's like, hey, what's your name? Whatever. But behind the scenes, producers were able to cut the broadcast on live and they put like a standby. And so they continued like going along with it just to, you know, because they're like, they don't want him to shoot if it is a gun. In the end, it wasn't a gun. It was a BB gun. He was like arrested and all that. But I thought that was crazy when I learned about it.
I remember there was either a movie or a documentary that covered it. And or like a reenactment of it.
Yeah.
And it was insane. The minute I saw it, I went, oh my gosh, that's insane.
That's so scary. Yeah. I remember a long time ago, a couple of years ago, I randomly watched this movie with your dad when we were living in Florida. And it was about a news anchor. She's the reason why live news is now like a few seconds. Like you're getting it live, but they're recording a few.
They're recording. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, they're recording a few seconds ahead or behind or however it works.
There's a delay. Yeah, there's always a delay. If anything happens, they can cut it before it actually were to hit
live on our screens. It's the same thing
with radio and everything.
Right.
Because I don't know if you've ever heard, but there used to be calls and you would call into the radio station and it wasn't delayed. So you could say something
and it hit. You could say something, yeah. Because you could hear yourself.
And now it's all delayed by a couple seconds, if not even more than that.
Right.
That way, the minute you say something, they'll cut you off. And then you're cut off and it's not going to
hit. It reminds me of one of my favorite movies, Hubie Halloween, where Adam Sandler's like calling in the radio saying, who is it?
Stop doing that.
And he's like, it's like, Huey, just say what you want to say. But you can hear the delay because now there's a delay. But yeah, that news anchor who there was this reporter that she ended up coming onto the news station. She was also very like mental health. It was really bad. She was suicidal and stuff like that. She wasn't happy at her job either. And I think she wanted to report a lot more meaningful things that were more impactful. But the news, obviously, we know there is a dark side of news where they just, you know, it's all about the viewers of the views. Like, let's just get more people to watch. But so she decided to kind of go on the news station and say like, oh, I'll give you something to watch. And she ends up, trigger warning, committing suicide on live news. Like she brings a gun in and she, And it's like, and so because of that, because of what happened there, that's why now the news is delayed. Like everything's delayed so then they can catch things while they can. So when I saw the David Horowitz, I was like, oh my God, there's more?
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. That is so insane. I mean, he ended up making it out alive, thank God, but look at the video. He's super chill.
Yeah.
So David Horowitz was ready to begin broadcasting his consumer segment.
Because, you know, one of the nicest things about shopping by mail order. Pardon me? What is this? Let me see what it says. All right.
He's got a gun to his back.
All right, well, let me read this. Folks, we have someone on the set who's standing here and would like me to read this copy which was just handed to me. You want to tell me your name or not? What is it? And Gary, where are you from?
At that point, the control room was ordered to go to black, kill the studio mics, and put up a standby slide. But Horowitz continued to read, and the gunman kept the gun in his back.
I was warned in 1981 by someone with connections at the CIA to stay off the computers, that they didn't trust people on computers. When I began receiving disturbing calls from my parents, which led me to believe that something terrible was going on, I was then forced into a mental hospital in Tallahassee, where I learned that my brother-in-law had been driven insane in the same manner that someone was trying to do to me.
The gun was a precise replica, and police, who by then had entered the facilities, made plans to deal with the situation. But when the statement had been read, the gunman placed the gun on the desk, and anchorman John Beard grabbed it. Burbank police wrestled the man to the floor. He has been identified as Gary Stolman, and he said he never intended to harm anyone. Indeed, the gun proved a fake. But Stolman may still face a variety of charges.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so he thought that they were... that David was reading... Well, he was reading it, and he thought that they were live on TV, but they had cut the broadcast.
I can't remember. There's another one somewhere way deep, but there's another one instance like this. And the gunman actually turned to the producers and told them, no. Keep that TV on because I want to see what is actually being aired.
Oh my gosh. I wonder what that is. I'm going to have to look it up.
I can't remember. It could have just been a movie, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I got to say...
David's got some steel balls.
David just turns around casually. What is this?
Oh, what's your name, sir?
Okay. You're very serious. Oh, let me grab my glasses. What's your name? Do you want to tell the people where you're from?
I know.
I was just, damn, he's just keep, David's, David's like, oh, this is just part of the job, folks. We're going to broadcast this guy that just handed me this paperwork here, and I'm just going to tell you guys what he said.
Literally. And the other two news anchors there, they're like just... They're like,
did you see the other one? He was just sitting there with his arms crossed, laying around.
He's probably like, do not make any sudden movements. No sudden movements whatsoever.
I won't lie. It's kind of eerie to me because all three of them just look kind of unfazed. They're just kind of like...
That's like the emotional state of the world right now where when you're sitting in the room and like everything's fire and you're like, everything's fine.
I was
going to
say, it's the... Have you seen the videos now where people are like... What it's like going into what it's like working as there's wars all around you, and the guy's on his computer, and all of a sudden and he looks out, and there's just a massive explosion out the window, and he just slowly turns and goes,
I haven't seen it. He's like, just another day. Yeah. I know. I see the videos where they're always talking about, what is it? They're like, you're getting messages from work, like Teams, Slack, whatever. And then there's a new news pops up like gas is $10. Eggs are now extinct. Like everything else that could just be going wrong in the world is like popping up on top of that while somebody's like, can you send me that file one more time? You're like,
oh, I've also been seeing the one of my favorite trends now has been the guy. He's like, oh, when you're playing Xbox with your friend, it's dark humor, but he's playing X. It's like when you're playing Xbox with your friend and he lives in Iran and you hear hear the sound from Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And it's every time somebody gets killed and you hear, nah, and then all of a sudden it switches to the screen to show what he's playing, what game he's playing with his friend, and it's not Black Ops, it's like FIFA.
Stop, that's so bad.
Because
hear
is like,
dude, I can't. Call of Duty is for a different breed. Call of Duty is a different breed, you guys. I can't. That's crazy. Well, that's today's strange episode, friends. We hope you enjoyed it.
That is wild.
It is crazy.
I'm just saying, listening is one thing. You guys have to go and watch the videos.
Yes, I'll post them, of course, for sure. But like, you know, now that we're talking about it, right? I would assume the statute of limitations is way... This was in 87. Like, you know, they're expired. So, I mean,
maybe you know more about that than I do. So,
no, I'm just saying that it's essentially, if they're still alive, they could come forward with no repercussions, essentially. Because the statute of limitations, I would think... is done. You get what I'm saying? So
no, not really, but yeah.
The statute of limitations, so you can't be charged with a crime after a certain amount of time.
I know, but that isn't that... Oh, yeah, whatever.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know how it works. I'm saying that could happen. Oh, wait, but you know what's funny?
What?
Have you ever heard of the Eminem Rap God song?
Yes, and you were singing it yesterday, like all day.
You want to know why I was singing it? Because Eminem actually is... Max Headroom in that music video. Go, I put it in there.
What?
Yes.
Oh, that's what this was?
Yes.
I did not... I mean, I forget also that Eminem's literally like so much older than us.
Yeah. No, he looks like he's looked the same for a while. No, but when I saw that, I was like, that's why I was singing the song yesterday, because I saw it and I was like, yo, what? I never knew Max had room. And he originally was made like in the, what is it, in the UK or like in Britain. And he kind of migrated over here to the US, but he's just a character. But it's also funny how, I mean, again, Eminem is also all about symbolism. So the reason why he did that too, you know, he's got for the music video and all that. But when I saw that, yeah, I was like, yo, I never knew that I actually knew about Max Headroom. I just didn't know it was Max Headroom.
Max Headroom's voice also kind of reminds me of like Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, I could see that. I could totally see that.
Hey, pretty woman.
Oh, no, he was like, hey, little mama. Yeah. Oh, Johnny Bravo, so funny. Well,
mama warned me about a woman like you.
Did she?
I was hoping she was right.
You do that a little too good. All right, cutie.
Hey,
Sugar Plum. Okay, thank you for joining us today on Macabre Monday. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know. We're not robots.
And we'd love to hear from you. If you guys have a story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, really doesn't matter how small you may think it is, please send it our way. You can email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to macabremondays.com to submit your story. Yours just might be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mystery is around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, friends.
Deuces.
Bye.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee, Red Handed is the podcast for you. It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.